going to be looking at Article 33 this evening from the Belgic Confession, and you can find that on page 84 of the Blue Psalter hymnals. Actually, 85 in some of them. It says, we believe that our gracious God, taking account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God towards us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he declares to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For they, the sacraments, are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore the signs are not empty or meaningless, so as to deceive us. For Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of sacraments which Christ our Lord has instituted, which are two only, namely the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in connection with that, I'd like to read a few short passages. One, perhaps we might think is not applicable or connected, but I assure you that it is. So the first one is Mark chapter 2 and verses 18 to 20 that have to do with the question of fasting. And so in verse 18 of chapter 2 of Mark, we read, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. They came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And then 1 Corinthians 11, which of course is an institution of the Lord's Supper, one of the sacraments. And so verses 23 to 26 of 1 Corinthians 11 says this, Paul says to the church, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And finally, the institution, of course, of baptism, which we find in Matthew 28 and verses 18 to 20. And so before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, he told, gave them this command. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. for the reading of God's Word. So, dear people of God, Article 33 addresses the provision that God has provided for us, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of the sacraments. And so God, in His wisdom, determined that it was necessary that believers have certain types of means of grace apart from the ministry of the preached word. And we have a kind of endorsement of that necessity of such avenues from the passage that we read with respect to fasting. That the question was, well, why don't your disciples fast? John's do, and so do the Pharisees. But why don't your disciples fast? And the Lord Jesus Christ's response was that as long as the bridegroom is with them, so he gives the analogy of a wedding and the best man, if you like, and his friends and the bridegroom. And he said, look, they're not going to miss him if he's right there with him. But when he's gone, then they will miss him. So he's saying, look, when I'm with the disciples, they don't need to fast. Why? Because fasting is a means by which we seek to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's right there with them. But he said the days are coming when the bridegroom will be taken away. Physically, that is, obviously. In his divine nature, he is never away from us. But physically, he will be taken away. And therefore, there will be a need of a means by which we draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that certainly teaches us that the sacraments are a necessity. They're not just empty rites that we go through. They have a specific purpose, a purpose that we need very much in our lives, and God understood that. And so he understood our need, and he provided for that need in the form of sacraments. So the reformers, of course, were faced with this issue when they left the Roman Catholic Church about the sacraments. There were many sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church had, and still does. But the reformers, in their looking at the scriptures, only kept two of them, which was baptism and the Lord's Supper, because they saw that God's word is itself teaches us what those sacraments are, and therefore we're not to go beyond that. We're not to invent other ways. God knows we have needs, and God has provided for those needs adequately. And therefore we embrace these two sacraments that God has provided. And so we're going to look at them in general first this evening, and then in the upcoming weeks we'll look at them individually in terms of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So first of all, in terms of the need of sacraments. The Belgic Confession reminds us of the fact that as we live our life in this world, that we come up against, in our Christian life, we come up against times in which we are weak, that we have infirmities, we have doubts, we have anxieties that come. And so he says, we believe that our gracious God, taking account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us. So the sacraments are a means by which God seeks to shield us and to strengthen us in times of weakness and in times of infirmities. With children, we know that, you know, when they're small and parents drop them off somewhere, there's what we speak about is a separation anxiety, right? So that when children are separated from their parents, they kind of come a little unglued, right? Because they think their parents are leaving, never going to come back. And so they have that concern. And so when you perhaps drop them off in a church where there's nursery, the first time you do it is not pleasant. They start crying at the top of their voice, right? But as we're told, as soon as you're gone, they start playing. But while they can see you and you're leaving, it causes them discomfort. In fact, the disciples exhibited that kind of thing. When Jesus was with them, they were fine. When he says, look, I'm leaving, oh boy, did their faces ever turn. And Jesus could see the sadness in their face. He could see the panic. And so he has to assure them. And John chapter 14 is all about that, comforting his disciples, assuring them, look, I'm going to come back. I mean, that's like the parents, right? We're going to come back. We're just gone for a little while. They needed to know that, right? I'm going to my Father's house. There are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. So the way I am there, you may be also. I'm not leaving you, he said. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not abandoning you. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ left, then there are times that circumstances in our Christian lives and persecutions that come, or problems that we have in our Christian life, as I said, or even doubts that arise in our own hearts, and we think, you know, how is God in control? How is this whole thing working? It doesn't seem to be working. And we were looking at that yesterday in men's Bible study. I mean, Psalm 73. He looked around and he couldn't understand what on earth was going on. How can this possibly be according to script? The wicked seem to be enjoying everything, and the righteous seem to be suffering and seem to be losing. And it brings discomfort into his heart and into his life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comforted them by saying that he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. But the thing about the Holy Spirit, as wonderful as he is, and the way that he takes care of us, the thing that is that we don't see him. That's the thing. We don't see him as they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, in his infinite wisdom, provided us with avenues that are visual. Things that we can tangibly see. Things that provide for us comfort and help and strength in those difficult times. And surely that comports, as I said, with this, the verses that I read about fasting. That was the whole thing. Fasting was a way to draw near to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, yeah, I know they have need of that, but not while I'm here. But when I'm gone, when I'm taken away, they will fast. So I've provided a way by which they may draw close to me. I mean, even with loved ones, as I said, we have the blessings of, there's so much mobility these days in the world that families are spread all over the world. But we have means by which we can contact them, right? We have phones, and we can hear their voices and their assurances. Well, in a sense, as I will explain in a little while, the sacraments of that for each and every one of us. So as we live in this hostile and difficult world, as we face all kinds of trials of faith and persecution, to such an extent, of course, that life is described as a veil of tears, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of that, provides us with comfort. I mean, look at Peter. I mean, look at the difficulties that he got into. And he needed restoring. He needed to hear words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he heard them. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. He appeared to him. But the sacraments continued to restore us in a similar way, but not in physical ways in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ being there. So they are comforts for us, but they are visual comforts. So when we face trials, when we face difficulties, when we, dare I say it, panic, then we don't always think straight in those times. When we are in a pressured situation, it's awfully difficult for us to analyze everything. It's very difficult for us to work things out in our minds and act accordingly. So often we react almost by instinct. And in those times, we don't always act the way that we ought to act. At such times, visual and tangible forms of reassurance come into their own. I mean, when a child is, you know, maybe a child wakes up at night and you know, they're screaming, they've had a nightmare. The last thing they need is for their parents to say, you know, there are no such thing as boogeymen. I mean, what's wrong with you? Right? There's nothing in the cupboard. These things don't exist. That's not what they need at that point, do they? What they need is those reassuring arms. What they need is to be drawn close to you so that they can find comfort in your grasp. That's what they need. They need a visual and tangible love and stability and assurance. That's what they need. They don't need a lecture. They don't need instruction that they have to think about and work with, because that's not the time. They need help right there and then. Even in education, of course, this principle is used so that we study various sciences and we look at textbooks and the teacher lectures and explains these things and then they say, yep, now we're going to do a lab. And they say, well, we just learned it, that's fine, I understand it. No, but we have to do a lab. Why? Because when we see it in action, when we do experiments, they help us visually to hang those laws and those truths on things that we can remember, things that we can see. And so the educational people have not just decided, look, the teacher's had enough, and so after a little while, let them go and do something and take them off. No, they don't. There's a very good reason that we do experiments. Because they're visual, they're tangible, and they help to solidify that which we teach. And so the sacraments are that too. They're visual things. They present to us the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very tangible and representational way. And so when we're struggling with our salvation, when we're struggling with assurance, then those sacraments communicate to us in a very physical and tangible way what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're really a little drama, are they not? A little play about what salvation is all about, what Christ did on the cross for us by his coming down to this earth and giving of his life. They explain what that is all about. That you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you that were dead in trespasses and sins and far away from God, by being cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been brought near into the very family of God itself. And so that sacrament of baptism reminds us of the washing that we received from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes us away from our works, doesn't it? It stops us from analyzing our own life and saying, oh, have I been good enough? I don't think I've been good enough. Oh, I didn't do this. I should have done this and I didn't. I don't know whether I'm a Christian. And now I feel all distraught about it. Baptism has nothing about your works, does it? It's all about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about his death on the cross and how it applies to you. Paul uses that so often, doesn't he? In both sacraments, He appeals to their baptism. And he speaks about what that means. That if we've died with him, then we will be raised with him. That we've been united to the Lord Jesus Christ in our baptism. And same as the Lord's Supper. The cup of the cup that we take, is it not the cup of blessing? Isn't that it? The cup that we participate from, isn't it full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course it is. So the sacraments then remind us and focus all of our mind and heart on what Christ has done, in order that we may be assured, that our faith may be confirmed. That which we know in our head, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. That which we believe in our head is now given to us, if you will, in lab form. You've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we see a baptism, it reminds us, each and every one of us, what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because after all, we only get baptized once. But we witness many baptisms. And it's appropriate for us that when we see baptism applied, that we take that message to ourselves once again. And we thank God for what he has done for us, so that we can be comforted, that we can draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can enter in to that wonderful blessing that has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. False gospels also are neutralized by the sacraments. One of the sacraments, of course, it's appropriate that it comes at the beginning of our relationship with God. I mean, that's where baptism comes. I mean, whether we're confused about when we ought to be baptized as adults or infants, it doesn't matter. It still comes at the beginning. I mean, even with that error, it still comes at the beginning. It's of our entry. It's our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that baptism assures us of that. It establishes that. It teaches us about that solid foundation. You didn't come just by yourself. No, you were brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is God's seal. He's the one that washes you. He's the one that says, you are mine. And so that baptism is comforting to us. It's assurance to us that, yes, we are the children of God. And so that's very important. That only happens once. Remember, we don't get baptized more than once. But our sustenance in life is also explained in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper we don't just do once, is it? Because we need to be nourished on a regular basis. We only enter into a relationship with God once, but we need to be fed on a regular basis. And so the other sacrament is one that is often repeated in our Christian lives. And so Christ is very well aware of the fact that we are going to be challenged. After all, he was by Satan. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, he kept saying. And even while the Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross, he uses other mouthpieces, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, he uses them to echo his words. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. That's the way the devil attacks us. If he attacks our Lord in that way, he's certainly going to attack us that way. And so he questions our relationship to God. And so the sacraments neutralize that attack. Because the sacraments tell us you are a child of God. Because God has brought you in. But not only that, you are a child of God because he feeds you day by day. You have a place around his table. And when you come to church and the Lord's Supper is celebrated, the elders manifest this wonderful message of God by bringing the sacraments to you. If they thought you were not a believer, they would pass you by. We have people that come to church and we know that they're not Christians. We will not give them the Lord's Supper. So our bringing the Lord's Supper and permitting people to partake is the very words of God Himself to each and every one of us, that you are my child. You have a place at the Lord's table and receive, because you are the Son of God. Take, eat, drink. And remember that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for a complete remission of all of our sins. So God understands that we're going to go through those difficult times. And the sacraments are the means by which God has sought to address those things, to provide for our needs in those times. But in the second place, there are benefits to the sacraments that we need to understand. They are certainly, first of all, they're signs of instruction. As the Belgic Confession says, they're signs. And so we need to pay attention when the sacraments are administered. We need to see that. We need to look up, because they have that visual element to them. So it's not a good idea when we have in the Lord's Supper, for example, for us to close our eyes and meditate. I mean, that you can do at home. Right? You can do that at home. No, the sacrament is a visible sign. God wants you to see it. God wants you to understand it. God wants you to rejoice in it, to thank God for it. And so even when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I lift up the bread and we break it so that everyone can see, that we can, our minds can be filled with those images of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Albeit, of course, in representational form, but we understand what those elements mean and what those actions mean. And so God wants us to understand those things. Indeed, as God said to Abraham, He wanted Abraham, we've read these verses before, God wanted Abraham to be sure. He wanted Abraham to be certain about his salvation. So what did God do? God gave him promises. But remember, with the promises came the covenant making, and those animals laid out, and the fire passing through. All of those were visual aspects that God impressed upon Abraham, the certainty of those promises. And so they are things that we see, but they are things that bring us assurance. When the devil fills our minds with doubt, when he begins to attack us at the very core, the very foundation of our faith, then we need to remember those visual signs. We need to remember that Christ died for me. We need to remember that He shed His blood for my sins, and that He continues to sustain me day by day. We may know the answers objectively, but we knew those before, didn't we? How come we got into a difficult situation if all we need is the ideas in our head? We had those ideas before He came and attacked us, and before we started panicking and questioning those things. So obviously, we need more than just the ideas, more than just the doctrines that we've heard. We need to go back to tangible things that God has provided for us. So the sacraments then are things that we can see, and they are seals with respect to God's wonderful plan of redemption that has already been accomplished. But they also provide a means of grace. And that's the thing that was a struggle in the Reformation, because even some reformers thought, and some other people do too, that the sacraments are simply memorials. The sacraments are simply us thinking back to things that happened. And that's all they are. But the confession says no. They're not just signs and seals. They are a means of grace. We are nourished, really nourished, by engaging in those sacraments. And I tried thinking of, since we're into illustrations, of thinking how can I put that in a way that we can really understand the difference between just a memorial and what a sacrament is. And I thought of this. If somebody goes away, goes to another country, it would be the difference of having a picture of that person. Or we might say a little video even of that person. And so now they've gone and we can't see them. And so what do? We have a video. And so we look at them. But that would be like a memorial. It just takes our memories back to them and the way that they were and the things that they did and the things that they said. That would be a memorial. But a sacrament would be more. The sacrament would be more like Skyping that person. We're not only seeing something that was recorded and we just see that all the time. No. The sacrament is like Skyping. But trust everyone knows what Skyping is. Where we, by using a computer, and they're sitting on the other end in another country, and we can talk with one another. The sacraments bring us into communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. They feed us. There's a means of grace. We receive nourishment from the Lord Jesus Christ through the sacrament. So they're not just memorials. Not just memorials. Our confession teaches that we do actually feed on the real body and the real blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, how do we do that? Well, the Catholics tell us because it is the real body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, no, it's not. And yet, on the other hand, we say, but we do really feed on the real body and real blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how? It says by faith, through the working of the Holy Spirit, when we celebrate the sacraments, we do actually receive grace that flows from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply a memorial. We're not simply just going through a ceremony. No. It is a real feeding at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to come to the sacraments with that sure confidence and not think, oh, we're just going through a ceremony. We're not. It is an actual means of grace. And we are nourished. And so we're not only to think about these things, but we are to embrace these things. Because Christ is serving you. And finally, the institution of the sacraments. First of all, it is by Christ. The sacraments, how were they established? Did the church come up with them? Did the church think we needed some visuals, and so they came up with certain things that would unite us and help us? Well, certainly the Roman Catholic Church does. And so they have a number of sacraments that they have established. And they have established because the Pope says that they're sacraments. But we say no. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has the authority to establish sacraments. Remember, that's what he says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ connects authority with setting up of sacraments. He didn't say, look, this would be a good sign for people that come into the church, so let's baptize them. No. He says, all authority has been given to me. I have the authority. And by that authority, I'm telling you to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And those that come to faith, they are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the same when Paul writes to the church at Corinth about celebration of the Lord's Supper. He doesn't say, look, I think this would be a good rite for us to keep. this would really gel the church. It would really draw us closer to one another in terms of our faith. So when you get together, I want you to do these things. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I delivered to you that which I received from the Lord. It's from him that I received this faith. It's from him that I received this sacrament. And I'm passing it on to you. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to say. This is the way that you ought to act. Because the Lord Jesus Christ established it with his disciples on that Passover when he met with his disciples. It may be a contradiction. You may think, well, wait a minute. You said when he's gone away. Yeah, but he was celebrating the sacrament when he was there. Doesn't that contradict what you're saying? And I would say no. Why? Because he was establishing it for them. He was telling them about it. But from then on, he wouldn't be with them. Then on, they would have to do it through the means of the sacrament. So the sacraments are sacraments that have been established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the only legitimate sacrifices that we hold to. And so the reformers rejected all the others that the Roman Catholic Church had invented. But how do we know that Christ established these sacraments? Well, as I've indicated already, we know from the Word of God. So when the Pope says, oh, but I'm the mouthpiece of God, and so God is establishing these sacraments when I say that they're sacraments, because it's really God speaking, and we say, no, no. God's Word comes to us from the Bible, not from man. Because otherwise, anybody could say, well, God says this, and he's telling me this. How do we check? Even ourselves. How do we know that what we're going to do is according to God's word and not just say, well, God told me to do that. People say that, right? Well, God told me to do this. God told me to divorce my wife. Really? Really? And we dismiss that. Why? Because it doesn't comport with God's word. And so the Bible has to establish it. And that's why, as I said, when the Pope speaks with respect to these things, then we don't take that as gospel truth. If what he says is in accordance with the word of God, then we say, well, then you're not really a mouthpiece of God. It says it in his word. You're just repeating what the Bible says, and fine, we accept that. But if you say anything beyond the Bible, additional to the Bible, then we say, no, we don't believe that, because it's not in God's word. And so the Bible establishes very clearly that there are only two sacraments, the passages that I read, only two sacraments. And so we stick with those two sacraments with confidence that all that we need and all the struggles that we go through life and all the ways that the devil tries to undermine our faith, we have every confidence that God knows exactly what we need and has provided it, and therefore through the means that he has given, the sacraments, plus, of course, the other means of grace in terms of the preaching of God's word and the fellowship that we have with believers, that they are more than enough for all that we need. Whatever the devil does, however he seeks to attack us, let us be certain that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions that he has provided. People stress so much physical things, right? So we have dancing in the aisles. We have all kinds of drama in front in terms of worship services. We have all the visuals we need. They're in the sacraments. And we thank God for them. And we use them with humility and gratitude. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have provided for all of our needs. We are physical people. And we do look and hear and taste and touch. And we're so thankful that not only that you came down and became flesh and dwelt among us, but that you also left to us the sacraments by which we may witness and rejoice and experience communion with our Lord and Savior in the most intimate way, namely to be cleansed by his blood and to be fed with his crucified body. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless the use of the sacraments in our midst, and we pray that it would confirm and strengthen and build each and every one of us in the faith. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.